Buccaneers fans, here we are in the depths of summer, training camp approaching within single digits. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast, and yeah, the sage isn't here. He's en route to Vegas about now, where who knows what he's going to be doing. I know he was there already, Lee, and that's Lee DeCamper. Ira won some money in a slot machine in the airport. He was going absolutely bananas. I think he may take some of that money and buy himself another brand new vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, the official vehicle, the official dealership of the Ira Kaufman podcast. But of course, you can shop at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he is ready for you to help you personally. And this is a great time because Sean is a football lunatic. And while he will be consuming a lot of football and will always be there to help you anyway, this is a time to get even more time from him because he's not watching film in July. And you can get help from him personally on anything you need, getting out of a lease, got a question about body work, you are thinking about a new 2021 vehicle and you want to put it on order, or you just want good value for your trade-in. Sean Sullivan, GM, Bill Curry Ford, he's going to help you in the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, on the phone, via email, which you can find at BillCurryFord.com. He just wants to help. Take him up on it. You will not be sorry. Get that Ira Kaufman discount. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And we love our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. You got a mold issue in your house, you had a leak after the storm, you've got some questions, or you have an emergency, they are there 24/7 to respond. And you call them before you call your insurance company, because if you have that leak or you find that mold in the garage, you don't want to get ripped off by the insurance company. You don't want to tell them the wrong thing. And Florida's Elite Restoration is going to give you a free assessment. They'll come out to your home with their thermal imaging cameras and their experts and just tell you what's going on and what you need to do, and they'll guide you through the process. And again, the assessment is free, and you need someone you can trust when it's serious. The man to call is Josh Martin. He is Florida's Elite Restoration, but they're a good-sized company, family-owned, servicing the entire Bay Area. They work with a lot of big companies, property management firms, contractors. And, of course, the little guy at home who's got a big problem that means even more to you than it would for any big company. So floridaselite restoration.com. Get yourself over there. Lee DeCamper, you are also enjoying the fruits of Vegas, I believe. We'll leave it at that when we say fruits. But, Lee, bottom line, the Buccaneers this week, they're going to the White House. Then they're coming home to have a big ring ceremony, a big party. And then 2 days later, they're supposed to start training camp. And Bruce Arians says it's going to be a back to basics. We want you to forget everything you know about the past year. That's going to be tough to do coming off a White House visit and a ring party.
Yeah, I guess they're giving them 2 days after the ring party to recover from their hangovers. And by the way, yes, I'm doing this from Vegas. Ira's in California visiting his brother. He just did a 2 hour layover in Vegas. And oddly enough, on his return trip from California, he's flipping planes in Vegas. He just happens to be on my same return flight. So we're both going to be on the same plane, Ira and I. But I'm dedicated. I'm doing this from Vegas. Ira's not. We'll fine him later. He'll be suspended, shall we say, for being derelict of his duties. I'm coming off, in my eyes, a big win on poker last night. I had a straight flush.
Whoa.
Yeah, I even took a picture of the machine, video poker. I took a picture of the machine. It was roughly 20 after 3 Vegas time, which was, 6:30 Eastern time. I'm like, okay, that's it. Good time to go home. Good night. Finished my whiskey and I left. I'm not a high roller. I play low odds. I won $56.
Ah, okay. Nickel slots. I got it.
At any rate, yeah, I mean, it's fun time. I mean, who would have thought a year ago right now, even though the Bucs had Tom Brady and they had Gronkowski, who would have thought that the Bucs this week, the week before training camp, are headed into the White House and they're going to have their ring ceremony? I mean, this is just wonderful times for Bucs fans. Even though the new season starts in a week when training camp kicks off, it's still going to, at least for fans it's going to be a while for them to get into 2021 mode.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lee, but let me pull you back into the question. Let me pull you back here because Arians, I found him on, I'm good, so are you, at finding a really obscure things. I found Arians speaking to a company podcast called Silver Solutions. Now, Lee, this is hilarious.
And that's Bowers Alley.
Silver as in gray hair, old guy like Ira. And Silver Solutions is a, they specialize in sending out like home healthcare workers and things like that. So they're talking to him about Arians and his 95-year-old mother. And Arians is talking about how, she lives in Pennsylvania and his siblings are nearby. And he breaks down how his siblings help his mom out, although she's independent. She just doesn't drive anymore, blah, blah, blah. And so the podcast is like woven with the CEO of this healthcare company, home healthcare. It's sort of woven between talking about senior citizen, real elder care needs over 85 with football and mixed in between. And of course, Arians, I almost felt, and I'm not knocking the guy personally in any way whatsoever, not at all. But I almost felt like Arians felt a little odd talking about, or a little uncomfortable talking about being a caregiver for a senior citizen, of advanced age, because he's not there. It's like his siblings are the ones doing the work. Arians has been coaching football for the last bunch of years and golfing on a lake, but he talked about it. But in that interview, he referenced that his approach with the Bucks is really about challenging them to completely get back to basics, completely start from scratch. And he said that in the mini camp, the mini camp before the break there about 5 weeks ago now, in mini camp, even when they introduced the snap count, basically they put it in as if nobody knew what the snap counts were, that they started by setting the tone, we're going, let's learn the snap count, and everybody knows it. The whole damn team is back except for Giovanni Bernard, and they are pretending like they don't know it. And that's obviously, it seems to me, the goal. But damn, Lee, isn't that going to be hard after coming off all this stuff and the fans still riding a high and rings and White House? I don't know if he's going to be able to achieve this unless, of course, Tom Brady sets the tone in a ridiculous way.
Might be a little of both. I don't think we should wring our hands worrying that the Bucks are going to be riding high through training camp on the 2020 season. Brady's not like that. Brady will get in people's faces if they're not doing something right. He knows what it takes mentally and physically to repeat. He's been the last quarterback to do that. So I don't think anybody's going to slack off with Brady around, at least on offense. Arians talk about how he's going to approach training camp. I don't know what to think because he's been all over the map about this. I vividly remember when he first said his quote, not mine, he's going to beat the shit out of him. Then about 2 weeks later, he was talking about, man, I got to, this is going to, all these snaps are going to catch up with them. I got to make sure I measure the snaps and they don't get too many snaps, don't get too many hits. Well, that's not exactly beating the shit out of them. That's just the opposite. So I don't know what to believe with Arians. He's all over the map on this. But this is sort of a Vince Lombardi tactic that Arians is using. Going back to basics. I remember Bart Starr in one of the NFL Films documentaries on NFL Network about Lombardi. Actually, it was a two-hour special about Lombardi. Bart Starr said Lombardi would begin each off-season conditioning, like their version of OTAs at the time. They didn't call it OTAs. And their version of OTAs. Lombardi, who was a high school teacher, that's what he studied. He was a teacher at heart. I mean, that's what he went to college for. He would hold up a football. Gentlemen, this is a football. And he would start to tell these guys how to hold the football. Now, that's elementary stuff you learn when you're in grade school football, but that's how Lombardi did it. He would break it down to the very basics and build from there. Maybe that's some kind of teaching technique that Arians learned. If you break it down to the very fundamental basics, these guys, their mind flips on them. And if they concentrate on, the basics, as opposed to, where do I go get my ring shined? Maybe it sounds a lot like what Lombardi did. And Lombardi won a lot of championships and had a lot of repeat championships. So that's kind of interesting to me. I don't know if that's what Arians is copying. But that sure sounds like it is.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It's a neat analogy. A guy to throw in there that back in the Vince Lombardi days, and even really 40 years ago, which is well after Lombardi's time, these guys, they weren't working out year round. I mean, they came to training camp trying to get in shape, and they had six preseason games because a lot of the guys needed the work. Now they're coming in, you know, fit as hell, and it's a little bit different. So I just know, I don't know mentally how well that'll work. You know, I could see them introducing a snap count and everybody's kind of smiling at each other and going through the motions. But this is the great challenge for Arians. And if he wants to be a Hall of Fame coach, and I think everybody without any malice believes that he's not there yet, that he might need one more Super Bowl or one more trip to the Super Bowl. Or if he coaches a bunch more seasons, that's different. He can rack up a lot more wins. But this is where he's going to be tested to somehow be the next guy to go back-to-back, not just win back-to-back Super Bowls, but think about it, Lee. He was doing it not like Brady did. Everybody knew the Patriot way was fully installed. If Arians can somehow win another Super Bowl, he will have radically changed the culture in a way that Bill Belichick had done years prior by the time the Patriots had won another back-to-back and all that. So I don't know, but it's going to be a very tough coaching job in a lot of ways. Although a lot of coaches would say, Dan, the Bucs are so loaded, Arians has got it easy. He can go home at 7 o'clock and not worry about a damn thing.
That's true, but you know, I know you don't like this, but I really believe the analogy people use that, you know, they're going to be gunning for the Bucs. The hunter is now the hunter. I really believe that. I really believe there's something to that. Because everybody wants to prove themselves against the best, and they beat the best. Even if you're a lousy team, hey, we beat the Super Bowl champs. Our year is made. I mean, the stinking Panthers, that would be their season if they beat the Bucks. That would be their season. We know they're not going to make the playoffs. They're terrible. That would be their season. Remember how the Bucks, when they beat one, they were just god-awful with Lovie Smith, and Mike Glennon pulled a rabbit out of his hat and beat the Steelers? That was their season. That was their season. I know the Steelers weren't defending champions. I think they might have been AFC champions. They were certainly a division champion in the previous year. That was their season. They beat Steelers. And so I really believe there's something to that. I know you kind of poo-poo it. I don't poo-poo it. I think there's something to it. So, you know, every week is going to be like a playoff game to the Bucs because people are going to be coming after them. They're going to be gauging themselves at them. Some guys on a contract here. I want to shut down Antonio Brown. I want to get in Antonio Brown's head. I'm going to F with Antonio Brown because that way I'll get more money next year. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a fun debate. And here's, I mean, the reason why I don't buy it is because of Brady. And I look at it as, if you want to sort of boil it down, of course, last year the Bucs played four playoff games with every team coming after them because that's how the playoffs are. And before that in the regular season, every quarterback in the league, think about Teddy Bridgewater last year. He sees Tom Brady on the other side. That's a guy he idolized in college. And every quarterback in the league, think about all the times the Bucs played the Patriots, Jameis on that Thursday night football and previous quarterbacks. You know, it's the ultimate challenge to beat Tom Brady. So every quarterback wants to knock him off. Every defensive back wants to pick him off and put the ball on his mantle and tell his grandkids one day, I picked off Tom Brady. Every guy in the league wants to sack
him.
Like
Justin Evans?
Yeah, Justin Evans. You got it. Exactly. In that Thursday night game. Good memory. And every guy wants to sack him. You know, Gerald McCoy was always in awe of, I got to get that Brady sack. And I apologize to those listening. I did mention Gerald McCoy's name. I'm sorry. I apologize. And, you know, I just feel like every defense was coming after Tom Brady and every quarterback wanted to have that notch on his belt to say, I beat Brady. So I don't know how many games last year that the Bucs weren't the hunted, maybe two, maybe three. So I don't know if it's going to be a lot different. That's why I think it's, while this year it'll be every game, Super Bowl champs, I think last year it's got to be 75% of the games where teams were coming after him for a variety of reasons, Brady related mostly.
Yeah, that's you have a point. I just think when you're playing the Super Bowl champions, yeah, you want to beat Brady, but Super Bowl champions is a little bit different. I mean,
it is.
I think that raises the ball game a little bit.
It is a higher level. It's just like everybody coming after the Chiefs last year. Everybody's at the edge of their seat, and I get it. I just don't know if the difference is going to be that much to worthy of Adam Schein screaming about it that the Bucs won't.
Here's one for you.
Yeah, that the Bucs won't be used to it.
Here's one for you. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater's name. I read about this the last couple of weeks. How freaking fortunate are the Bucks? Because it seems like, in retrospect, it seems like the Bucks were going to just turn the page on Jameis unless they couldn't get Brady or Teddy Bridgewater. How freaking fortunate were they not to get Teddy Bridgewater? I'll give you an example. This is an absolute pet peeve of mine. I was reading over the past week, and yeah, I actually do research when I'm in Vegas. I'll be at a bar, and instead of spending $200 on poker, which I otherwise might do, I'll go through Twitter, and I'll do some Bucks research while I'm nursing my Crown Royal. So anyway, I came across this. Teddy Bridgewater, only one other quarterback in the NFL, had a higher percentage of throwing to targets short of the chains on third down than Teddy Bridgewater. Only one other quarterback. That was Alex Smith, who was physically shot, and he threw short of the chains on third down. And this is mind-blowing. 80% of the time. Well, that's why he's out of the NFL. One big reason. The second worst quarterback was Teddy Bridgewater. And that's his absolute pet peeve of mine. That was a Mike Glennon specialty. Mike Glennon on third down. That son of a gun, he would always throw short of the sticks. And he'd be like fourth and two. It's like, would you just throw past the damn sticks? It's almost like he had something mental in his head. Like some kind of, I cannot throw past the sticks. I can't do it. It's got to be 5 yards short. It just drove me wild. And that Teddy Bridgewater. How fortunate were the Bucks that they didn't land Teddy Bridgewater?
All right, I'm going to answer that question two ways. First, obviously you could pretty much insert any quarterback because they got Tom Brady. So they were fortunate. But I'm going to go this rootly. I'm going to say that Teddy Bridgewater would have been a completely different quarterback if he had landed with the Bucks. And it's a wacky example. But it's July, but it's the time for this kind of example, especially old fans of JoeBucksFan.com. Johnny Manziel, I think he would have been a totally different quarterback if he came to the Bucks versus the nonsense that was going on in Cleveland. I think
absolutely agree. Absolutely.
It's a similar kind of thing in the sense that you can't even judge. I can't judge that for him going to a loaded receivers room where he would have been able to throw deep. That would have been his whole job, would have been throwing these intermediate and deep balls. And he would have had elite quarterback coaching that exists with the Bucs. So I'm going to have to say, I don't know. But of course they were completely fortunate beyond belief. And it'll be interesting to see if Bridgewater actually wins the job with the Broncos. But, he's not a great quarterback or even a good one by NFL starter standards.
Yeah, he's on three teams in 3 years. That's all you need to know.
Jameis might pull that off if he has a new 12. That would be 4 years. 4 years. We'll see how he does this season. I'm just real curious to see that, mostly because whoever wins that job, the hook is going to be so quick for the starter. I know it sounds stupid, but I think whoever doesn't start that season for the Saints is going to end up playing more games just because the pressure, and if they go 1-2 and Sean Payton doesn't like what he saw in that third game, I mean, he's probably going to switch quarterbacks to try to spark it. So it's an interesting spot.
Is it Jeff Schwartz that periodically will be on NFL radio? I know he's a former offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He was asked about the Jameis Taysom Hill thing, and he's like, I just don't understand Sean Payton's situation with Taysom Hill. I just don't get it. This guy's not an NFL quarterback. I simply do not understand this. And I thought it was interesting that, an offensive lineman would defend Jameis, because Jameis obviously likes to run around a little bit. He's a little bit more mobile, and he hangs onto the ball a little bit more. And I just thought it was interesting. Offensive lineman just trashing Taysom Hill. I just don't understand this. I don't get it.
Sure. All right, Lee, look, it's hot and you're in Vegas. However, unfortunately, you can't get Big Storm beer in Vegas, but you can get it all over the Tampa Bay area. Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, the Palm Bender, the Gulf Coast IPA, Gorgeous India Pale Ale, Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, which is just fan-freaking-tastic, their number one seller. Get to BigStormBrewery.com, and they got a new website now. That's where you can find the beer, find the tap rooms, follow them on Facebook. They put a lot of great stuff there, Instagram, each tap room, Orlando, Clearwater, Odessa, and Cape Coral, coming soon in Tampa. They throw a lot of great pictures out, new menu items, specials, but it's about the beer. I was talking to the folks at Big Storm the other day, Lee. Beer, beer, beer. Summer's about beer, and it's the best beer in Florida. So much of it brewed right there in Clearwater. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. Find the beer near you. It is just that simple. Big Storm Brewery, that's where the sage, Ira Kaufman's going to be all season long for Bucks Road games. Watching with fans, drinking, hanging out, eating your food, whether you paid for it or not. He's going to be picking off your plate. Lee, I want it. That's true. If it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I refer to Ira as a human seagull.
Yeah, he's absolutely the human seagull. It's one of the better analogies in the history of Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters. Not the website, but the headquarters nonsense that goes on. Lee, I wanted to let fans know real quick, that, of course, Todd Wright is back for, I believe it's season 6, maybe season 7. I think it's season 6 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Subscribe now. It's at all the platforms, and he does a really good job. And, of course, then you can get into our podcast leagues, which Bill Curry, Ford GM, Sean Sullivan gave the winner of the main podcast league last year $1,000 just because he wanted to put a bounty on it. And we're probably going to be doing the drafts right there at Bill Curry Ford, where you can get a Big Storm sandwich in the showroom there, which you really can at their cafe. But Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast comes out twice a week. Subscribe. I'm going to throw something else up on the site so you can find it more easily. But Todd does a great job. And a new podcast coming this year, Lee, just on game day only. Rock Riley is going to do a game day, get you ready for the game podcast with some really different kind of insight. It's going to post within 24 hours of each kickoff. And Rock Riley's been around forever. He's going to be out at One Buck Place a lot this year. And he always has some good insight. Happy to do that. So Lee, we're doing some different things. We're having some fun. And Lee, I wanted to throw this to you because, you know, as fans get so excited and they're getting even more excited about potential sports gambling coming to Florida, shouldn't be that far away. If they can get through all these legal hurdles, we're going to have it in the middle of October. But you're out in Vegas, and a lot of fans continue to look at stories around the NFL. They see that over-under win total for the Bucks at 11.5, and they wonder, how could it be? 12 wins would be a disappointment for this team. I got to bet it. It's a 17-game season. That's like 10.5 in a regular season, and they're coming off the Super Bowl. What's going on? I know you put a little money down, Lee, but I got to caution everybody that, you know, that kind of bet, and this is where I'm at, Lee. I don't know what you're thinking, but that kind of bet, you can bet it in July, but you're going to probably get the same number on September 1st. And if you get the same number on September 1st, at least you can see who's healthy. If there's an injury before, I don't know. What prompted you to throw the big bucks down, Lee?
Well, I thought 12 wins, unless Brady gets hurt, 12 wins, you lock it up. I mean, the Bucks didn't play that well last year, and they had, what, 11 wins?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, 12 is a no-brainer, especially when you factor in there's a 17-game season. So they should get 12. To me, that's a no-brainer. You know, you can't guess, and again, Brady. And what you said is interesting. I never really thought of that, but the lines for season win totals, generally they stay steady until, like, what, three-quarters through training camp? Or not training camp, but preseason, just in case there's injuries?
Yeah, they're usually pretty steady. You know, unless there's a major injury, you can sort of get the same line in most years before opening day.
Now, I just glanced at this a couple days ago. I don't recall any team having over-under of 12 wins. I think the Chiefs were also 11.5. Rams, I think, were 11.5 or maybe 11. But I don't recall anyone else that was over 11.5. There's still a lot of respect out there for the Saints, it appears. You know, no matter who's quarterback, his peers, there's a lot of respect for the Saints. There's some respect for Matty Ice. But outside of Los Angeles Chargers, that division pretty much stinks. I mean, if Denver gets a quarterback, but, you know, that's all Aaron Rodgers. So, that you know, their division's probably, I would say their division, AFC West, is worse than the Bucs. I really would say that. So that's why I think the Chiefs are at 12. But I don't recall anyone else that was over 11.5. I just think that's what the odds makers you know, that's their ceiling, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The Bucs are behind the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been pretty consistently at 12. That may have changed. I mean, you are out there in Vegas. I don't know. But that's pretty much how it's been. Although I know the Rams have not hit 11. The Rams have not hit 11 yet. They've been in the 10 and a half range. So no disrespect for the Bucs. And I know you're very high on the Rams. I don't know. I think it might take Matthew Stafford a little bit of time. Yeah, the Chiefs, in my opinion, they have an easy division. Although, you know, there's always optimism surrounding those other teams. And there's nothing wrong with those teams, but they're not anywhere in the Saints league, which would, for me, make the NFC South tougher.
As you were talking about this, I remembered I had the season win totals from BetMGM in my room, and I have it in my hand right now. The Chiefs are at 12, the Bucks are at 11.5, and then it goes down to the Bills, and where's it? The Bills? Yeah, the Bills are 10.5. So the Bucks are right now. The Bucks have the second highest season win over and under, and third is Buffalo. The top one is Chiefs with 12.
Another thing that Arians has said on this Senior Citizen podcast, it just cracks me up, the whole thing, you know. Bottom line is he flat out said he believes that running backs are going to change and they're going to last longer. 40 is sort of the new 30 with running backs. He was exaggerating a little bit, but his point was that these guys, sports science and healing and all the medical advancements, that he believes running backs are going to last longer and start to get 3, 4, 5 contracts, so obviously for the top guys. And that's a different philosophy. Not a lot of people share that philosophy at all. And I don't know if it's right, I don't know if it's wrong, but a guy like Ronald Jones or a guy like Leonard Fournette or their agents, they hear that, and they got to be excited, thinking that, if I have a great year, you know what? The Bucs will give me a contract till I'm 31 years old. They will extend me, and they will Giovanni Bernard, who's 29, turns 30 during the season, and he's looking for a new contract. It's got to make him encouraged that, hey, Arians really believes in old running backs. And I don't know what Keyshawn Vaughn would say to this, but it's a different philosophy. And you and I know, Lee, that in One Buck Palace, before Arians arrived, that was not the philosophy.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I won't mention it, but the philosophy was the closer you get to 30, the worse you are. This is interesting, Arians is saying this, because that's sort of become the norm with quarterbacks. I mean, obviously Brady, you almost say that's an outlier. But Drew Brees is, what, 40, 41 when he retired? And I think if NBC hires Maria Taylor, that might chase Brees back to the Saints. I really believe that. Because those two working together on Notre Dame, that ain't volatile. Aaron Rodgers is, what, 37? We're seeing that with quarterbacks the last few years. I think a lot of that, as Arians pointed out, was sports science, the advancement in medicals, and whatever fountain of youth he's found, other players are using it. Rodgers has already said he started using it recently being a year or two ago. And he was, hey, it works for Brady. Maybe there's something to it. We're seeing more quarterbacks playing past the age of 40 than we've ever seen. Just take a look at pictures of George Bland at 43 and Brady. Brady looks like he's 30. Bland looked like he's 50. Of course, Bland, you know, that was also several nights of whiskey and cigarettes, too, added in. But I think there might be something to that. I mean, Adrian Peterson's lasted forever. Now, I'm not saying he's the Adrian Peterson we all thought of in his prime with the Vikings. He's still hanging on. Shady McCoy, he all of a sudden is saying, you know, I haven't ruled out retiring yet. I don't think he's coming back with the Bucks. Is Frank Gore still active?
Yeah, yeah, Frank Gore is still going. A couple names to throw at you, Lee, and I think just adds to it. But I have one name that I was thinking of here that is someone to watch for the Bucks. And I'm not counting Peterson in there, even though Arians loves the guy. He signed him in Arizona. He's talked about him separately. And Peterson's a training warrior, of course. He had 7 touchdowns last year. Can still play. He's a free agent. But what Phillip Rivers did is really even bigger than some of the other guys last year because, yeah, he wasn't Brady, but he went to a new team. They won 11 games. He completed 68% of his passes and had a really good year, 4,000-plus yards, and just walked away. But that was, I think, an eye-opener for a lot of people that he was that successful in a new situation, even though he knew the coordinator. But the name I'm looking at, Lee, and it's a guy I've heard Arians talk about in the past, is Todd Gurley. Now, Todd Gurley turns 27 this summer, and he's got no team. And, you know, if you believe in medicine and you believe in sports science and guys' ability to come back and bounce back and be what they were, man, you know, that's just somebody to keep an eye on if, you know, if the Bucs start getting itchy about adding a new running back if they have an injury or something. I just hear Arians talking about that, and I think he believes in, hey, guys aren't washed up.
Is Gurley damaged goods, though?
Sure.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, he's damaged goods, but, you know, can he recover? Some teams would think damaged goods mean you're damaged forever. I don't know if Arians thinks that way, really, because, you know, some of these guys he's talked about, or some of these older players, you know, they have an off year, but they're able to come back stronger, and I don't know. I think that's some of what Arians means. I don't know.
The thing with Arians, I've noticed a pattern. He had this with the Cardinals to a lesser degree, more so with the Bucks. Later in the season, when they're looking, you know, guys get hurt, and he's looking to pull guys off the street. He's looking at guys that he has experience with more often than not. Pardon me, whether it's offense, whether it's defense. That's why they brought back Jack Sitch. You know, he's walking injury reserve list. A.Q. Shipley, who, you know, he was on his last legs, and unfortunately, yep, he was forced into retirement. That's another example of a guy who Arians had a pass with, and he was, you know, on the street. And maybe there were better, physically better offensive linemen out there, but he went with the guy that he was familiar with. So that's something to keep in mind. If he wants to bring in Gurley, he's never worked with Gurley, to my knowledge. So if they're going to sign him, I would think they would sign him sometime in training camp or maybe in a preseason. Later in the season, I don't think they'll bring him in because he wouldn't be a smooth fit, probably.
Yeah, I don't think he would do it in training camp, but just because there's already a heated competition, and I think that would even more get in the heads of some of these guys. But I look at it as just as if somebody gets hurt, I think that's who somebody Arians would call. And hey, if he needs a month to adjust, you know, because you know, God forbid Leonard Fournette goes down in October, okay, they're looking for the long haul. But I don't think he would do it sooner.
Here's a guy to keep. He's not a running back. I think you and I briefly, off record, we bounced this around a little bit. Here's a guy that he's going to be dirt cheap. He's not a running back, but he's at a position that you and I have both talked about in the past, and Ira as well. They're rather thin at. It's secondary. I would not be shocked if the Bucks brought in Richard Sherman.
Well,
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I would not be shocked.
I mean, if they don't sign him, he might break the door down at One Buck Palace.
Let me in!
That's a sad situation, but yeah, have to have a little fun there. I don't know, but I could see it. But here's where I would disagree, Lee. I don't think they believe that they're thin at all in the secondary at cornerback. I don't think they feel that way. I think they're in love with Ross Cockrell and what he delivered, playing like 20-25% of the snaps. So they got him off the street. And they love the three young guys, you know, Murphy Bunting, Dean, and Davis. And I think they're just so in love with those guys back there that they wouldn't do that. But if they had an emergency, I don't think they would hesitate. And really, that's what we've seen from Bill Belichick for so many years, is that, yeah, he'll take the old guy with a resume and think he can squeeze something out of him. Same thing with Pete Carroll, who's been very successful with that. And Arians, one of his best reclamation projects was when he pulled Dwight Freeney off the street in Arizona and got like 8 sacks out of him in a run to the playoffs. So I don't know. It's fun to think about. You know, we all love to throw out names and, hey, sign Todd Gurley. Obviously, the Bucks are loaded. We know that. Anybody listening, Ira knows that. He's not even in town. We all know they're loaded. Lee and I aren't stupid. We know they average 30 points a game, including 30 points in the playoffs. And this year they should be better and all the things you've heard us talk about. But, you know, bottom line is a name like that is out there. And Arian seems to be hinting here that he's into the old guys. And look, the old guys helped him win a title. You know, why wouldn't he have even extra faith?
That's true. And just before people go crazy about this, when I was talking earlier about how Arians later in the season likes to get guys he's familiar with, guys that he's worked with him before, I was thinking the outlier would be Dwight Freeney. And you brought up Dwight Freeney. And as you were talking about him, I remembered, wait a minute, Arians worked with him when he was at the Colts. So he knew about Freeney. And so if anybody's screaming like, well, Dwight Freeney never played for Arians, well, Arians was in Indianapolis when Freeney was there, and he knew all about Freeney.
Yeah,
so
you're right. My bad. Thank you for fixing that. And, yeah, the gap was big there, so I forgot. Good job, Lee. Good job.
And once in a while I get right. Twice a day I'll be right.
Yeah, I mean, look, we remember what Arian said about coaches. He likes people that he's worked with that have played for him, or like when he brought in Keith Tandy last year and Cody Grimm to the coaching staff, former Bucks guys with, they had some ties to the organization. Of course, Jason Light knew that the kind of guy Tandy was, and Tandy, even while he was playing, Dirk Cutter referenced multiple times that, hey, he's the kind of guy, he and Luke Stocker are the kinds of guys that could coach and have that mentality. And of course, Grimm, his father was the great offensive lineman, had some ties with Arians, worked with Arians. So that was a connection there. So yeah, he loves those connections, and it worked for him. Everything Arians touched turned to gold last year. And it'd be amazing if that stuff can continually. I mean, Bucks fans, I mean, I think we're right there with all of them, and that just cannot wait to see this team get off to a good start. 4-1, 6-2, 8-3, it would just be unbelievable the way the town would go absolutely insane. And a real home field advantage would be just mind-boggling.
When's the last time this team had a home field advantage? When Sapp was playing, maybe? Maybe when Brooks and Rice, Chucky's midterm, shall we say, when they went to the playoffs, what, twice in 3 years?
Yeah, it was real until, we all know what happened in the lost decade. And they had one last year, but it really, didn't feel the same because of the amount of people in the stands. And, of course, road games weren't as much of a disadvantage. So the contrast was much greater. But speaking of that, Lee, and then we'll get the hell out of here. And I do want to mention that, just a reminder, it's not a joke when we say that Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford will help you personally. He's the GM. It's a giant dealership, 61 years in Tampa. Just ask. Just say, hey, Sean, I keep hearing about you on the podcast. I need some help. I'm looking to get my kid a car. He's commuting to USF this year, and I don't like the reliability of what I got. What can I get on a trade? What should I do? What do you recommend? He'll talk to you like a friend and help you out and give you valuable information, and of course give you a deal if you're looking to buy. Don't mess around. We've known several people who've purchased two vehicles from Sean, which I never thought people actually went to the dealership and bought multiple vehicles, but I know three people who've done that, Lee, at Bill Curry Ford. And when you buy two, three vehicles, you're serious. You're not just doing somebody a favor. You're extra serious about your purchase. And Bill Curry Ford, and remember our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite.com, and Big Storm Beer. Chug it all summer responsibly and irresponsibly if you're home by yourself.
Well, and by the way, that's one of my favorite lines. Drink responsibly. Oh, by the way, unless you're at home.
All right, Lee, that home field stuff, that's a sort of a different wrinkle to this season. I'm really encouraged to see what that looks like. I'm very excited for the fans who get to come out to training camp. I know some have their passes and their invites already. The whole thing kicks off on July 25th, Sunday, and we'll be out there. Morning practices. If you really need a schedule and all that, you can go to Buccaneers.com. And hopefully the Bucks, as we've talked about before, hopefully they open up to the general public, make that decision. There's still time. There's still practices that aren't even on the season ticket holder schedule. Hopefully they do that and do it right. Lee, I know we've talked about coaching before, and it's just another way of appreciating this staff, and we've seen the nightmares of the past. But Ali Marpet was chatting. He was asked about Bruce Arians. What's he like? He could have said so many things. And one of the things that Marpet said, and was only a couple, he talked about how he lets players manage themselves, and he lets assistant coaches manage themselves. But he just has the right touch on when to intervene and when not to. But when Marpet mentioned the coaches, that he knows when to step in and let coach and when to step in on his assistants to lend a hand and fix something, and it surprised Marpet. Man, that tells me that Marpet on one given day or something saw the Bucks screw up, the O-line screwed up this and that, and expected the head coach to come in screaming. But nope, the assistant was left to fix it on his own. Stuff that he probably hadn't seen before with Lovie and Dirk Cutter. That's just another layer.
I don't know how to interpret that other than maybe the previous head coaches he had were too intrusive, that they might have been screwing something up.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I think of Lovie Smith immediately. Or Arians just knows, he just delegates authority. Like, hey, I hired these guys for a reason. Let them do their job. I'm not an offensive line coach. Sort of like what Dirk Cutter claimed he did with defense. And I don't doubt that Cutter was honest about that, because any other coach, head coach, would have either kicked Mike Smith into the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, or would have taken over the defense himself. It was so awful. Dirk Cutter couldn't have done any worse as defense coordinator. He said, oh, you don't want to see me coach defense? Yeah, we do. After Mike Smith's about ready to set a record for most points scored, yeah, we do, Dirk. We do want to see you coach defense. You can't do any worse.
Yeah, Marpet put it in the sense of, he said, quote, Arians has a really good feel of when he needs to step up and when he can let guys figure it out for themselves, assistant coaches and players. You don't usually hear the coaches mentioned. I thought that was kind of unique. And it just tells me that a thinking guy like Marpet, there were times when he thought, oh, here comes a head coach. He's going to rip us a new one and fix this and freak out. And yeah, Arians just had the right touch and the trust. And it's all magic at One Buck Palace, Lee. Do you have any predictions for the White House? Any players who either don't show or create a bit of a ruckus or try to do something silly to get national headlines? Any prediction for the White House?
I think most of them will show up. I think the only ones that won't show up would have already had plans with their family elsewhere. Brady, for example, is camped out in Montana, so maybe he won't show up. And he's blown off White House visits in the past, I believe. So maybe he doesn't show up, but I think they'll get a lot of people coming in. Real quick about the coaches, you know, it's what Marpet said, it's not to suggest that Arians just sits back and watches his coaches coach. And we've been out there at practices. Arians is not bashful about unloading on someone. When he sees someone loafing, when he sees someone not doing a job, he's not quiet. I mean, yeah, he putters around in his golf cart, but when they go to 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s, Arians is very much involved. I mean, I saw him chew out Tanner Hudson for dropping a ball. I saw him throw Alex Kappa out of a practice. I read about it. I've seen Gronkowski talk about it, how he chased Gronkowski off a practice field screaming, he's not in Florida shape, he's in New England shape, get him out of there. He's very much active in practice when they go 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. Otherwise, he's puttering around in his golf cart going all over the field.
I mean, look, he's got a great feel, a great track record. I actually saw something recently. Lorenzo Alexander, the former Pro Bowler, who I played like 15 years, Bills, Redskins, Arizona, played for Arians. He said in all his years in Arizona, which I think was just two, but in his 2 years with Todd Bowles, but he was a longtime veteran by the time he was there, he said, I never saw Arians in a defensive meeting, which really surprised him and shocked him. And it just speaks to the confidence that Arians has in all these coaches. But like you said, it does not mean he's not heavily involved and just with just the right touch. That's what got him the Super Bowl, Lee, and that's where we're going to get the hell out of here on. Another high Super Bowl vibe as we march toward training camp. Sage is coming back, and we are all fired up. I've been doing push-ups, Lee. Have you been working out at all, getting ready for training camp?
Push-ups of another sort in Vegas.
Vegas push-ups. Excellent. You don't have to. Well, all right, we'll leave it alone.